Hello and welcome to International Report. In 20 years of existence, the Scottish Parliament has done a lot. A major land reform, more rights for the LGBT plus community, free prescriptions, free university tuition, but has it gone far enough? As Scotland celebrates the 20th anniversary of a unique institution, this is a time for reflection on how much the nation has changed and what challenges lie ahead. Asse Semeke-Roman has this report from Edinburgh.
On June the 29th, the place to be in Edinburgh was the Scottish Parliament. Hundreds of locals and visitors queued in the historic centre of the city to be part of the celebrations marking the 20th anniversary of Scotland's very own Parliament. Attendees got a chance to sit in the presiding officer's chair, see where their representatives work, enjoy some food and live music, and learn more about what this Parliament has actually done for them. Alex Neil is a member of Scottish Parliament from the pro-independent Scottish National Party, representing the constituency of Airdrie and Shotts. He's also a former cabinet secretary. He was among the 129 MSPs to take their seats for the first time on July the 1st, 1999.
Well, it was very exhilarating. And of course, although we had a parliament 300 years ago, it wasn't an elected parliament. It wasn't a democratic parliament. So this is the first ever democratically elected parliament for Scotland. And therefore, as someone who believes in Scottish independence in particular, it was very exciting indeed, because I believe that's the start of a journey which will end up in independence.
Linda Fabiani is a deputy presiding officer of the Scottish Parliament and an SNP MSP for East Kilbride. She was also elected 20 years ago to build this new parliament politically and physically.
Looking back to 20 years ago, I recognise it's such an honour, such a privilege. But at the time, it was just pretty scary because this was a brand new institution. We had 129 people elected to this new institution, very few of whom had any parliamentary experience at all. Myself, I was director of a housing association, so it was a whole new kind of career for me. A big, steep learning curve, but it was privileged and it was certainly worth it.
The Scottish Parliament sat for the first time in 1999, 2 years after a referendum organised by the then Labour Prime Minister Tony Blair, and only in 2004 in its modern building in Holyrood Park. The Labour Party had long campaigned for Home Rule and considered devolution would allow better policies to be made for Scotland. Malcolm Chisholm was elected as a Labour MSP for Edinburgh 20 years ago, but before that he had been an MP in the UK Parliament.
The bottom line, I suppose there's lots of arguments for a Scottish Parliament. One practical one was that in the old days, as it were, when there were only Scottish members in London, there was very little time for Scottish legislation and Scottish affairs. When I was an MP there in the 1990s, once a month you got to ask questions about Scottish affairs, and you might get one or two pieces of Scottish legislation every year. But, you know, that was one very basic reason. Let's have a Scottish Parliament where we can actually spend far more time on Scottish affairs. But of course, the other fundamental point was we want to have Scotland making decisions that suit Scotland. And that became, that has actually been reflected in what's happened in the Scottish Parliament for the last 20 years.
The Scottish Parliament has complete powers over devolved matters such as health and education. Alex Neil says it could have done more, but in the past 20 years, MSPs have passed groundbreaking, progressive pieces of legislation before the rest of the United Kingdom.
I think we need to do more on child poverty. I think there's more we need to be doing on the economy, given the challenges, not just of Brexit, but the challenges of artificial intelligence, etc. And I think we're doing a lot, but maybe not on the scale that's required in terms of the economic policy. But I think if you look back at the achievements of the Parliament, for example, we have free personal care in Scotland. They don't have that in the rest of the United Kingdom. Land reform is very important, and it's an unfinished agenda. Initiatives such as the Equal Marriage Act I've already referred to in terms of social progress, the changes were made in the health service, have been very progressive, and I think they put Scotland in a good position. I mean, although we have challenges, we have the best performing health service in the UK at the moment.
The debate over the powers of the Scottish Parliament is still ongoing. Should Scotland make its own laws on more matters, such as employment or immigration? For Michael Keating, a professor of political science at the University of Aberdeen and the director of the Centre on Constitutional Change, the real issue is the balance of devolved powers.
My concern is not the amount of powers, it's the what powers are devolved, and I think they've got the balance wrong. And a lot of people will tell you this, they've got the balance of taxation wrong. It doesn't have control of labour market policy, although there's quite a broad consensus that probably that would be a good thing because it logically belongs together with taxation and welfare policy.
Many politicians have expressed concerns about the future of devolution, especially since the Brexit referendum in 2016. The UK voted to leave the EU, but Scottish voters are strongly pro-Remain. And now, Scotland fears that control of her devolved powers might be seized by London after Brexit, instead of returning to Edinburgh, as Malcolm Chisholm explains.
There is an issue, if Brexit goes ahead, because I hope it doesn't, but let's for the moment assume that it will. All those powers that areas of powers where Europe is so important, such as the environment and agriculture and fisheries and other areas, I would argue ought to come directly to Scotland, but the UK government is saying that they should come in the first instance to the UK Parliament. So there is a risk that some of those areas that in the legislation were said to be Scottish devolved areas, such as agriculture, fisheries certainly, and large areas of the environment, will in fact not come directly to Scotland. And yes, that is a threat to the Scottish Parliament.
Michael Keating says this breach of trust will have long-lasting effects.
The very principle of taking powers back is what matters, because the Scottish government says, well, these are our powers, you cannot take them back unilaterally. They probably never will take any powers back. They've retreated so far. But they've still insisted, well, we can any time we like to. And that really has destabilised relations between the two governments. It's done an awful lot of damage. And then in the negotiation of these frameworks and in the negotiation of Brexit, both the Scottish government and the Welsh government will say, well, we weren't consulted. We had meetings too late. Or we had meetings after the negotiation of this or that point. Or the papers weren't circulated. They're very unhappy.
According to Linda Fabiani, the existence of a Scottish Parliament has strengthened the case for independence.
I think the UK has shown itself to be such a dysfunctional political construct over the last 20 years that it's making it more likely to be a stepping stone to independence. And I think more people are coming round to that view. But that is because of that increased confidence that has come from devolution, because people are seeing that they can make their own decisions, and some of them are pretty sensible and smarter than those that are made, you know, 400 miles away.
In every study, the Scottish Parliament has consistently shown it was trusted more than the UK Parliament. For Michael Keating, this is one of the institution's major achievements.
The biggest achievements are simply to reconnect people with government. And if you look at the figures I was referring to, there is confidence in the Scottish Parliament as an institution. It is more accessible. I'm not saying people love their Parliament because they don't like any political institutions. But certainly it has resolved a problem of extraordinary alienation that existed in Scotland in the 1990s. From government. It's re-engaged people's commitment to government, and it's in that sense stabilised and legitimate government itself.
Reporting from Edinburgh, this is Assa Samaki-Roman.